Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show on April 17th, one weekend before the big bunny comes out. Oh my God, the bunny's coming. Anyhow, we'll continue on with what we were doing last week. So I rewound it just a tiny bit so you wouldn't miss anything, and away we go.
Okay, the beginning. Now, it also suggests Diener and Parlodel. These are two other drugs. As a matter of fact, Hydrogene, Diener, and Parlodel are all catecholamine nerve transmitters, all of these. Okay, now let's talk about some of these drugs. We're getting into the ergot family, okay? Now, in the very beginning, the dedication, part of the dedication, is to Dr. Albert Hofmann, a visionary pharmaceutical chemist who invented Hydrogene and a host of other modern wonder drugs. Okay, we're talking about, primarily in this book here, the ergot family. How many of you know what ergots are? What are they? Fungus, exactly. Now, what is Dr. Alfred Hofmann world famous for? Exactly, LSD. So, we're talking about smooth muscle stimulants. History of ergot alkaloids. Epidemics of ergotism in the Middle Ages from eating bread made from contaminated flour as back as 994 and 1129 in France exhibited two clinical pictures. Gangrenous ergotism, holy fire, St. Anthony's fire, characterized by hot extremities becoming numb. Then, vasculation and black coloration. Finally, mummification and loss of extremities at joints without bleeding. And the key word right here is mummification, right? Because of that butylated effect that we were talking about early, when you take Hydrogene in minute quantities, what you're doing is you're mummifying the cells in your body, you're plastifying, you're tightening up the orbital electrons around the nucleus, and you're modifying the behavior pattern. And this will have long-term deleterious effects on the overall system. There are three groups of alkaloids that have been separated. The ergotamine group, the ergotoxin group, and the ergovine group. The ergotoxin group is where hydrogene comes in. I'm used to hydrogen. NASA, we had a fuel called hydrazine. So I've got some tongue twisters here. Now, it also talks about kids, like putting kids on Diener and Ritalin. Believe it or not, these fall in that same category, very subtly. And I'll talk about what happens over a period of time when you put, you know what the side effects of some of these drugs are? Death, exactly. Insomnia is another one, a very strong one. And what in the NHF Register, I read about a month ago, a real interesting article that Maureen wrote, and she found it in some research, which is true. Anytime you take more than three drugs simultaneously, you're going to experience all of the negative side effects of one of them. That's most people, okay? Most people. So that's something to think about. Now, the next thing they go into is the aging process, talking about Parlodel. Yeah. D-E-A-N-E-R, Diener.
Yeah. Does that plastify the body also?
Well, to a degree. It works psychically first. All of these drugs will freeze you eventually, but they have different levels of motion at the atomic level. Okay? I don't know. I haven't taken any of that stuff yet. You know, I haven't tried that one yet, and I don't plan on it. I've had enough of these psychedelics in the 70s to keep me going for a long time. I took LSD in 1973. Okay, before 1973, I used to win spelling bees in school. I was a super pronunciator of words. I was a super speller. I always won spelling bees. After a year of taking LSD, I lost a good half of my vocabulary, especially my deep scientific vocabulary, and a tremendous amount of my spelling knowledge. So I had to go back and teach part of my brain, which I had burned up, how to work again, how to function again. And even now, I still remember the theories and philosophies of biochemistry, but I had to re-educate a part of my body. Now, I gained a lot of knowledge on the high effects of the drugs, but asked to do it over again, I would probably do it by fasting in natural foods, because you can get a lot higher on a fast and you're a whole hell of a lot clearer. Okay? But I made a few mistakes, and that's why I'm here now. I'm going to share those with you. You go out and do what you want. Now, they talk about Parlinol as reinstating menstrual cycling in most older female rodents and some human females by stimulation of dopaminergic nervous system, which in turn stimulates pituitary hormone, releasing factors for sexual reproduction. Food manipulation caused insects to live 2 years of age, which only live normally 8 weeks. But there was extensive genetic damage as they did not have repair and protective enzymes for a species 2 years old. Now, what they're talking about here is going back into sexual vital energies and sexual. Sexual energies need to be transmuted for immortality. Okay? There are many masters running around today on this planet that are inhabiting old bodies that look very young. If you study some of the theosophical teachings of some of the different spiritual movements going on today, you'll hear about masters like Count Saint Germain, Sri Babaji, Paramahansa Yogananda, people that really got into this stuff and left a track record, and some of these masters are alive today. For example, in Madame Dalimar's diaries, which is during Marie Antoinette's time, her diaries, which are today in one of the big famous London museums, clearly state that a man by the name of Count Rogowski lived over 200 years and kept himself very active in royal circles. So we can look back. It also talks about what the man ate. He ate a diet consisting of several light meals a day, mostly raw food and vegetables, and occasionally a small amount of cooked white meat of chicken. This is all in the archives over in London. So they're not getting into something that we haven't been able to do already. It's already been done. Now, the body has to transmute and move up in consciousness. Okay, and I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to lead right into that now. Some of the other things that the book goes into are covering up the effects of alcohol with drugs, primarily, once again, hydrogen to eliminate hangover. When you start coming down from an alcoholic binge, you start producing acetaldehyde. Acetaldehydes in the body are poisons. Vitamin C is the way to break that, because it will break it down into lactic acid. Don't use a lot of drugs to cover up the pain. The pain is, once again, a lesson not to do it again. The other thing is it talks a little bit about are opiates. Opiates cover up or act like endorphins in the body, and these are pain-numbing agents. Okay? Now, the way the body should work, and the way it normally works, is we have seven reservoirs in our body which should have natural hormones in them. Sexual hormones, adrenal hormones, heart, thymus, pituitary. These hormones are seated inside of these organs and are released into the bloodstream by capillary action, naturally by relaxation, not by stimulation of a drug source. If we are in tune with ourselves, we are in tune with our environment and our universe, our body will automatically take over and bring us this immortality feeling that we're looking for. Colors, sounds, lights, all at certain vibrations fall into what we call octaves. There are seven major octaves in the musical scale. There are seven colors in the rainbow. Seven is a number of form. When the sevens are kept in harmony, the hormone structure of the body is said to orchestrate. Okay? Now, you cannot interrupt a conductor conducting a symphony. And that's exactly what we do when we start putting these drugs in our body. Then what happens is the hormones in proper formation arrive at the brain. The brain is a doorway or a switch. And the brain switches knowledge, a school of knowledge and thought called seven levels of consciousness, on one side of the door, down to the physical body, the physical universe, and each other as we know it today. Each individual in here has his own life experience that's immortalized. It's been going on forever. And the secret to gain that immortalization and bring it to this plane is to become in balance, to become in harmony. Now, one of the worst things that we're getting into now with the ergot family of drugs, the cocaine family of drugs, procaine family of drugs, and strangely enough, some of these things are found in GH3 and KH3. When you start playing around with cocaine, procaine, novocaine, all right, you're starting to play around with MOA inhibitors, monoamino oxidase inhibitors. And that's dangerous, okay? Now, these types of chemicals stop or inhibit the uptake of norepinephrine. As a result, you get a free flow of vasopressin until you run out, and you get an euphoric rush, a physical feeling of goodness in your body. Then what happens is you run out of lysine, arginine, and tryptophan, and the serotonin levels begin to run rampant in the body. Now, what is serotonin? Serotonin is a neurohormone that is stimulated by positive ion or air pollution poisoning. And when it is stimulated to the maximum, death results in 30 hours, laboratory testing. So as a result, now what we're doing is we're introducing air cleaners, ion generators into the world to help deal with the positive ion pollution. Other people that are not using natural air cleaners, electrostatic precipitation is a societal accepted way of producing clean air. Ionization is an acceptable. There's been nobody's ever been killed from negative ions. Remember, a negative ion is nothing more than a free electron that is necessary to reproduce a cell, and we're supposed to reproduce cells at the rate of 50 million per second. Hemoglobin alone reproduces cells at the rate of 3 million per second. But we're putting positive and negative ion poisoning out now. Positive ions. For example, in England in 1952, 14,000 people died of poison air. In 1966 in Japan it happens. That's why they have oxygen masks on the street corners, because of that very thing. Now, another thing that we have to talk about, as it talks about in here, is the genetic aging clock. In Dirk's book, it talks about genetic aging clocks. The genetic aging clock deals with the pineal gland. And what it does is, over a period of time, it changes the tempo of this orchestrated body, producing what we call elevated behavioral patterns. Now, what does that mean? Okay, it means science fiction becomes science fact. When we produced elevated behavioral patterns a few years ago, in the 60s, we put man on the moon because we came out with a superconscious state of being, right? I used to watch television, and when I watched television, I would see man going to the moon. In the 40s, I had an old Crosley, a 1947 Crosley television set. And the big thing was, I want to be part of the moon project. So I went out in the 1960s. I was part of the moon project. It was great. I was a kid in a candy store, you know. Now what do we see on television? Bionic Man, Wonder Woman, Superman, right? We're going to have super physical consciousness. When you evolve yourself properly, like going into breatharianism, for example, the body eventually knows how to take nitrogen out of the air and produce protein. I wouldn't recommend that you try that until you understand it, but it's possible and people are doing it. They're called saints. So it can be done. Super physical consciousness, right? Our children are going to be born with it. What happens when a woman is out by her son and a Volkswagen falls off the jack? She walks over and picks it up, right? What happens when Uri Geller puts 40 kids up on the stage and he puts a little spoon in all their hands? He says, okay, kids, tell it to bend. And they all say, bend, and the spoon bends, right? What happens when Omar, Vernon Craig in Ohio, walks on hot coal and doesn't burn his feet? These are all superphysical states of consciousness. We can do that naturally. But we have to, number one, get about the business of letting our bodies teach us how to do it. We don't have to do it in a laboratory. We can do it by living like human beings, by not causing wars with each other, by learning to forgive and forget our mistakes, and learn that as our own lesson. And that's what makes harmony. That's what makes union. And that makes vitamins work as vitamins. Minerals work as minerals. Otherwise, vitamins will turn into poison in your body. You put out poison thoughts and poison actions, you have a poison body. Now, drugs are great for covering up poison. They're great for that, you know. Or operation, when in doubt, cut it out, you know. All of these things. The last thing I want to cover real briefly, because we're going to run out of time, we can talk after this, is DNA. I've been a student of DNA. Now, DNA is something that tells all of our cells how many instructions to reproduce. And when DNA starts not behaving properly, then we start to appear older in physical. And everybody likes to look in the mirror and be proud of themselves. There's a guy over in, he was run out of this country. He's from a royal family in Italy. His name is Gianni Dotto. He did a monumental work in DNA a few years ago. And one of the things that he showed, and I'll read it from one of the articles that I wrote, is when a baby is born, the slowing process of reproduction increases. At the age of 2, the DNA winds again to 22 base pairs per turn. At the age of 14 and 21, 10 base pairs. At 35 to 55, 10 base pairs. And then beyond that, it's down to 6. Now, DNA is normally 1 meter long, 39 inches, okay? Human consciousness has a tendency, and especially the science community, to build or express itself in physical means based on the body as a perfect structure of the universe. This is what Leonardo da Vinci was in. And when we begin to understand our own genetic engineering, especially DNA, because DNA is light sensitivity and it's vibration. For example, the term Leia Trail came from lava rotary and nitrile. Okay? We have dextro rotary and lava rotary. Left spin, right spin. This is the way we take, a scientist will take a chemical and he'll see how it polarizes light. If it goes to the right, it becomes poisonous, like arsenic. A lot of these chemicals have right spin. If it goes to the left, it's harmonious for the body. And when you start understanding the light, the way the body behaves in frequencies of light, because that's what this was all about, then we start putting light-emitting nutritional products and foods in our body will automatically begin to build up more base pairs per turn and begin to behave properly. It's all in vibration. Energy cannot be created. Energy cannot be destroyed. People say, well, what do you talk about energy, you know? Well, energy is important. You go right down to the atom, the proton and the electron, right? Inside the atom is the proton. In there is a quark, a lepton, and a hadron. Doesn't mean a whole lot, but the atom immediately forms the molecule. Bam, in 2 milliseconds, 50 million of them are formed. The molecule then forms a cell. The cell then forms an organ. The organ then forms an organism. The body can reproduce itself in 7 years. The liver can reproduce itself in a few months if we're healthy. So even if you're discouraged with yourselves now, let this principle go to work for you, and in 7 years, you're going to notice a tremendous change just by understanding how change is and not trying to interfere with it. You know, I'm a triple Leo. You don't think I don't have to deal with change? Because I have my ideas. I have them, and they're always wrong. Always wrong. Every scientific discovery I've ever made, and I've produced a lot of products that people are happy with today, done a lot of formulations, things, I've done many things, but everything I did was by accident that ever worked. And then accepting the accident, acceptance of our accidents and our misdeeds and misfortunes is the beginning of truth. Truth is the middle, truth is the beginning, and truth is the end. Okay? Are there any questions? Yes. Right. You're starting with disharmony, discord. You know, without discord, there cannot be harmony. And remember, man is a combination of both. So don't get down, don't be disenchanted because there's so much discord. Realize that there's a lesson there. Realize that someone over here that has no discord or no harmony is just a vegetable. Vegetables are what we eat to live, right? Go. How can you get off? Lots of vitamin C. The question was, how can you get off of 4 milligrams of lithium? Lots of vitamin C, and I would get on some amino acids. Yeah, getting lots of amino acids. Yeah. With vitamin C, take a little cysteine, a little B1, and some B3. Cysteine, it's an amino acid. Just get a high content cysteine amino acid group, like a protein powder. That's very important. I used to help people with freebase. Freebase is a very powerful way of ingesting cocaine. And it's a similar problem as lithium or valium being strung out on those drugs. Amino acids will do tremendous things because you may gain a little weight coming off of it, but that's okay. Once you're off the drug, then what happens is the weight will go back to where it's supposed to be. Okay, oftentimes in drug withdrawal, you're going to get weight gaining, maybe as much as 10%, because your body's going into balance, but you'll feel so good. Well, are you under a doctor's care? I would consult the doctor first. We're not here to prescribe. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Anecdotal stories about these people who exist on nitrogen for what scientific or laboratory seems to turn that
person. If Oxford has done tests on that, there's a lot of centers now that are testing. In Dirk's book, it goes into some of these testing centers. And a lot of that information that you're asking for can be sought out.
In Dirk Pearson's book?
Yeah, I think there's some of these testing centers. It comes under the clinical testing part. Yeah, he doesn't go into breath areas. There's no spiritual knowledge in here. But some of the testing center information, ask them.
We'll wait a minute. I think this thing will flip over and go on to the other side. So I'm not sure if we listen to the other side. I'll know in a minute when I hear it flip over. So anyhow, you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, brought to you by BBSRadio.com and Paradigm, www.paradigm.com. And or Dr. Fred Bell, just type that in, take you the search engine. On April 17th, Sunday night, we'll be up there with... Tonight we're going up to see Stevie Nicks and Rod Stewart perform. They're doing a three-day gig in L.A., and so while you're listening to that, we'll be listening to them. So anyhow, let's see if this thing's going to flip or not. There it goes. I'll just see how it starts, and I'll remember if it was a repeat or not. Otherwise, I'll switch it. Put some other good little information on.
I'd like to introduce your speaker right now because he...
Yeah, we heard that last week, so if you want to hear that again...
That's a very important subject for you, and I know you're going to enjoy it.
If you want to hear that again, go ahead and listen to last week
originally.
On the...
He's a year older than I am, I noticed.
Archives. So we will stop here with that, and we will go ahead and put on a new tape. Here's we are in Seattle, and this is going to be a good one. So, it's Dr. Fred Bell in Seattle.
Hello, so far. Are you enjoying it? Yeah. We haven't been in Seattle in a while. At least I know I haven't. It's probably been 10 years since I was up here last. I'll get around the planet here and there. Anyway, my name is Fred Bell. Some of you probably know about me and some of you not. And today I'm going to talk about... basically, today what I'm going to do is give you a little... some food for thought, and then tomorrow I'm going to go into details in our workshop about how some of the things behave that I'm talking about. But as probably some of you know, the UFO movement began, or the flying saucer movement pretty much began back in the late 40s. When the end of World War II, the government was pretty paranoid about the Russians having nuclear capabilities. And so they set up different research areas out in the New Mexican deserts. Also about that time, two or three alien, what we call alien ships, or ships from Theta Reticuli, crashed in the desert, and it became well-noted incidents. The crash at Aztec, New Mexico, Laredo, Texas crash, and a couple of others. And during these episodes or these crashes, over here a little bit.
Get your heartbeat.
Yeah. It's terrible. I'm going to slow this down here. I think it's
test.
I'm going to put this one down here. Get them away from each other. Anyway, when these crashes occurred, they recovered in some cases alien bodies, and they also in some cases they.
Put on your shirt.
This is ridiculous.
Let's put them right here. They're pretty sensitive. There. Anyway, when these crashes occurred, they recovered bodies and they also recovered machinery. And by 1951, they had recovered the first live living entity, which was termed extraterrestrial biological entity. And some professors from Johns Hopkins University and some Air Force people were put together, and the alien was taken. There was one that died quite quickly and one that was lived for a year. The alien was taken to Wright-Patterson. And the Air Force began to do work with this alien, and so by 1955 they had established a means by telepathic communications could take place. When these telepathic communications took place, then they began to fly in the Four Corners area with Air Force jets, and when this occurred, they began to make contact with other aliens. And in 1956, about March 2nd, when Eisenhower was president, there was a landing at Edwards Air Force Base, which was then called Muroc Field, and the aliens made a deal with the government, this was what we call now a secret government, whereby there would be a trade-off of technology for the right for the aliens to have certain visiting rights on this planet. Later on, that treaty changed a little bit, and the aliens were allowed to begin to abduct human beings, supposedly in the very beginning to just monitor their biosystems and for planetary pollution, but later on they began to do full-on abductions and implantations. How many of you in here have seen on television, like on Sally, Jesse, Ralph, you know, and some of the more popular shows, women or children and women, and a lot of women that have been abducted, implanted? It's getting to be pretty common. The number has somehow reached between 300,000 and 400,000 Americans now that have been abducted and implanted on our planet. The Greys, as they're called, also began to abduct and mutilate different sorts of animals, primarily cows and sheep. And when this occurred, you probably heard about the thousands of carcasses that were oftentimes left, you know, all over the. I've been up to Dulce, New Mexico, which is one of the main areas where there is a Grey base. So all of this began to go on. Meanwhile, the government organized itself into a very secret department known as MJ-12. And the MJ-12 group began to work in a base near Dulce, New Mexico, with the joint base with the Greys. A second base was also set up back around the late 1940s, early 1950s of Matanapah, Nevada. And that began to be known as Area 51. I'm sure most of you know or have heard about Area 51. Popular Science, which is an over-the-counter bookstand publication, last month had on the front cover, actually it's the March issue, this month's cover, had on the front cover the Area 51 base, which is not even on the, supposedly on the Air Force journals of being in existence. Now, I have been there several times. We've filmed up there. We've had film crews. Some of the other people some of the other speakers here have been there. We've had experiences with the government, with the Wackenhut troops. It's an endless thing that's been going on up there. Back in 1984, they expanded the territories, and they illegally seized 85,000 acres around Groom Lake in Area 51. And currently now they're trying to seize another several thousand acres so that people can't climb up this one mountain, which would allow you to look down into the base because of what's going on there in the ways of technology. Meanwhile, going back into the 60s, you know, when I was in the Air Force, it was even in the 50s, as this technology turned on, the Greys began to do joint genetic research with the secret government. And during the Vietnam War, we found out in Washington that there was a mass genocide program in the works to remove 1 billion human beings off the face of the earth by the year 2000. And there's a group called the Executive Intelligence Review that also publishes a paper called The New Federalist out of Washington, D.C., that has pretty much monthly updates on what's going on some of these programs. Their leader, Lyndon LaRouche, was jailed some number of years ago for exposing this. Also, the Greys, the aliens, have made treaties with England. They have a base in Brightwater. They also have a base in Germany near a place called Oldenburg in an area called Echtenstein. So these Grey bases do exist all around the world. The way that they operate currently is that they are primarily targeting human beings through the immune system. The immune system is the greatest target because when your immune system goes down, your consciousness is affected. In the early, also are orchestrating this. I'm sure some of you that remember me heard you talk about the Global 2000 report, which came out a number of years ago. It was published by 19 different federal agencies during the Carter administration, and it was released during the Reagan administration. In that, they talked about the destruction of the planet by environmental means. One of the great areas that was brought up was called the ozone layer. And they immediately said that the ozone layer was being destroyed by high-flying jet aircraft, which it is. The government tries to make you believe that freon and different forms of fluorocarbons has something to do with the ozone. But if you take a 747 flying right below the ozone layer, with 100,000 pounds of fuel and tailpipe temperatures of 5,000 degrees, what does that have to do with the ozone layer versus a spray can? It's a big difference. So the second thing that came about is the capitalization by the government and different powerful industrial agencies on the environment to cause the American taxpayer to pay a whole lot more revenue for different kinds of things and services. For example, in the old days, if you wanted your air conditioner in your car or your house refilled, it was $10 or $15 when they filled it with freon. Now it's $150 for a chemical that's far more toxic to humans, and it doesn't even begin to work as a refrigerant. That's only one example. They've attacked the EPA has attacked the electroplating industry because I'm involved in that because we have a lot of plating that we do. They've attacked the painting industry, the auto paint industry, and they tax the hell through licensing up to $250,000 now for some players per year per business, and some businesses can't even do that. So that whole phase is being tapped on a major level. The other thing that they have done is through religion and through different means, they have orchestrated the second coming and the prophecies of Revelation into a very major plan involving the Greys, so that the human race will think that what they can't figure out one way has to do with prophecies. And so this is the big scenario that's going on. The counter to that was that friendly races also of extraterrestrials began to visit us here along with the negative ones. The Pleiadians, for example, came in the 50s, along about the same time as the Greys, but the Pleiadians offered to help us with our planet and our planetary problems, but they refused to give the government technology, primarily propulsion technology and weapons technology. They absolutely refused it because they said, we weren't ready for that. So the government refused the Pleiadians' request and actually attacked the Pleiadians in a couple of episodes and brought down 5 ships, and in turn actually pyrogenically froze some of the occupants, which was kind of cruel. The reason that's cruel is that a Pleiadian has got a human-type anatomy, and a Pleiadian, because of the way the propulsion systems of their spaceships work, spend a lot of time on the astral plane. And when you live on the astral plane in consciousness quite a bit, and your body is frozen, it traps your astral body and your physical body into a living hell until the body is destroyed. Whereas the human is not that powerfully linked yet, and so if a person were to die, their astral body would separate, depending on the type of death, in a relatively short period of time. If it was a violent death, it could be a year or two, because what you'd call ghosts or hauntings could take place, like a murder in a home. If you're a heavy drinker or smoker, it could take 2 weeks to release the stench, the auric stench that would bind you, or if you're a fairly enlightened person, it could be instantaneously. So there's various ways, and there's other speakers here at this symposium that will talk about that sort of thing. But the Pleiadians do cover all that in their teachings to the different ones that they've been teaching. All these things are covered. Another area that the Pleiadians teach that you don't hear a lot about, and when you get around a true contactee that has had extensive experience with the Pleiadians, they'll teach you about nature experiments and the elements of your own planet. I spent almost 20 years with Sumyasi learning about the nature spirits and how to work the planetary energies back into harmony with the different levels of angels, the different levels of insects, and all the things that exist. And their teachings correspond 100% to those of the American Indians. So my teachings began with the Pleiadians about 1971. And the first seven or eight years of that, they taught me about technology, and they began to teach me different things about the body. One of the first things that they taught is that on our planet, we have a tendency to bury ourselves in biochemistry, which is very important. The science of ionization, for example, for metabolization of biochemical products we put in our bodies, food, vitamins, nutrition, these kinds of things. But they also said we had to go further back, which science has...
Test one, two, there it goes.
Into the electrical body.
Test one, two, three, there was a microphone switch.
The
ring is not coming from us. That's coming from the way it was recorded. We apologize for the ringing on the microphone.
And you start treating the whole symptom of a disease, and you start treating the whole pocket of energy, which was the energy being. And then finally, they taught us about the electrical... precursing body. The electrical precursing body of energy is a series of parameters that is necessary to fulfill themselves before the electricity can flow into the body, causing ionization, which then causes metabolization of nutrients and foods and substances like that. And it's very important because the next step beyond this, or the etheric body, is called the astral plane. That's where you go to sleep at night and dream. The second thing the Pleiadians taught us about is life cycles. In life cycles, we learn about the cycle of the moon, the new moon, the full moon, for example. And we learn to work within those periods. We have 2.5 weeks of the full moon. We have 2.5 weeks of the new moon. And so when you want to launch new ideas, new technologies, in order to not stress your body out with negative feedback, you learn to launch in the different periods and phases of the moon. They also taught us about how the Earth and the Sun relate, and how we have a 365.25-day cycle of the Sun, or the Earth and the Moon, and the whole solar system rotating around the Sun, and how we have a winter in one atmosphere, an hemisphere, and we have a summer in another one. And the currents or the changes within the core of the planet, you know, for example, in the summertime up here, everything's in bloom and speeding off of the sun, solar energy, which the ATP cycle is up and enhanced. In the wintertime, down into the ground goes the energy, the life force of the tree, the sap. And by the way, the seed is the most powerful form of food there is. So they teach us all of these kinds of things, which becomes important. And the reason it becomes important, and it was really important to me anyway, going through the 70s, learning the precursing science, was because I didn't know it at the time. In the 80s, I would begin to learn how the Greys, with the super technologies they have, would begin to subtly release into our society on all levels, and into our food chains, those elements that would end up killing us and making us go into pain. I mean, look at what's going on now. If you can't see the crime rate going up, if you can't see the psychological twist of our society in all countries, and it's spreading, it's getting worse and worse and worse. If you can't see that and realize that that's not because we have better communications and we're aware of it, the system is breaking down and falling apart. This is a pressure that's being put on the hormonal system of the body. The hormonal system of the body is where your feelings come from. For example, sexual feelings come from sexual hormones. Energy feelings comes from the adrenal glands. Thinking and higher consciousness comes from vasopressin and different things coming from the pituitary. And because of the greater cycle of what the Earth and the solar system is going through, these things are getting tremendous pressures on. Just like in a full moon, for example, when the tides are changing, and every day a tide is different, it's not the same tide going in and out every day, it's always changing, so does the surface gravity, or specific gravity, of the cells in our body change. Meaning that if I shouted at somebody one day, they'd say, oh, that was no problem, because the surface tension of their body is relaxed. But if I shouted at the same person in the same conditions in another day, the surface tension of their body, it might just freak them out and just cause a tremendous negative reaction in their body, freaking out their systems. This is the kind of thing that's affected just by the lunar cycles alone. Then we have to go into the next cycles, which is the big one. This is where we deal with the prophecies of the pyramid. We deal with how Nostradamus came up with 25,000 years of quadrants. And that is because the Earth and the solar system and the Sun has a rotational frequency that goes around the Pleiades every 25,827.5 years. And in that time, we have 12,000 years of darkness and we have 12,000 years of light. The 12,000 years of darkness, we have the Dark Ages, the Renaissance time. During that time, part of humanity is kept alive by certain ones that are left back behind, known as brotherhoods, like the White Brotherhood, for example, to keep consciousness alive so that when the times of light and the newer souls come back to the planet, there'll be some true teachings rather than the teachings of jaded societies to destroy their consciousness of what they intuitively already know. We're now moving from the Piscean Age, which was the age of a consciousness of a soul being born, whereby the soul had a belief system. It was a believing soul. The believers structured religion in order to support the beliefs. We're moving from that period into what's known as the Aquarian Age, whereby we have the knower soul. And the knower souls come to this planet, and they come here with the knowledge. They don't need a Global 2000 report to find the environment is going bad. They don't need a Bible to find God. They know from within what is right and what is wrong and what changes need to be had and changed. When these souls come, these souls are free to incarnate not only on this planet, but any other planet that they choose. Whereas many of us here are bound down still in the ring past not of the earth, and we haven't finished up our lives of basic consciousness and basic society. For example, the societies of Africa that you see going on, the conflicts in the Middle East. You have many souls that are still fighting amongst themselves like animals because they haven't learned that humanity is a oneness and God consciousness is a oneness. So these souls are not free yet. These souls are not of a concern to the gray when it comes to destroy us. But what the gray comes in, the extraterrestrial gray comes in, during this time because he wants to stop the growth rate of the higher souls. Because you're dealing with a conflict between the grays and other extraterrestrials that's spread out all over the galaxy. It's just not here. And you've got to realize at this point is a very powerful seeding point because Earth has a special part in the overall scheme of things. So what happens is that the technology is brought against human beings. When I got into the 80s, Sannyasi began to teach me tremendous things about medicine, and I ended up getting a degree in homeopathic medicine, so I even switched career fields in my channeling and my day-to-day physical experiences with them just to understand the level and appreciate the level of knowledge that was being given to me. And as we got into the 90s, they began to introduce me to another group known as the Andromedans. Now, the Pleiadians can only go so far in their teachings on Earth before they'll get a negative feedback. A Pleiadian cannot intervene within a human affair because this would cause wars to backlash into their home world. An Andromedan can. An Andromedan is powerful enough to go in and change things, and the Andromedans have come, and they have already made major changes. One example, for example, of a change, of an intervening change, was the earthquake on January 17th at 4:31 in the morning. That exact evening, I was already up. I had not gone to bed that night, and I was having a direct communication. And I was even told by the Andromedans to take some of the things off the shelf of my house 2 hours before the earthquake occurred. And I had called several of my friends and told them that we would have an earthquake that would be quite strong. The Andromedans said that would be a friendly-induced earthquake. It would be at the wee hours of the morning, and it would be during the wee hours of the morning during the holiday, so that they would not hurt too many people on the freeways and destroy homes and things. Because this is part of the stabilizing that is going on in Southern California to prevent what's known as the big one. The big one will not come. You can just wait forever for it. It won't come unless the Andromeda is released. And as long as there's a shard of hope in our society, a lot of good things will happen. But it becomes very important to understand and to read the signs of not only what they have to say, but what the government has to say against you. And to give you some examples, the ozone layer, when it began to be portrayed in the 70s, it was perfect to orchestrate into the immune system problems with the immune system. Now, first of all, they had already introduced herpes 1, 2, and 3 as early viruses, because these viruses feed in the absence of pure sunlight. When you have ultraviolet light, these viruses are not very healthy. And during that time, they began to launch a larger program and to put what they call killer viruses into the world that would only mutate unless you bound up into a strong spiritual attitude. So in 1978, in the hepatitis B virus, they inoculated 2,000 homosexuals in San Francisco with the beginning of a virus that had been put together in a laboratory in Virginia, in Langley, of a Vishnu and a bovine virus, which is a cow and a sheep virus. One has a tendency to give a cow a cold, and the other one has a tendency to destroy the internal workings of a sheep. And they introduced that into to the 2,000 people, and by 1981, they were all dead. From that group in San Francisco, that inoculatory group, they introduced this virus all over the world, and they spread it into South Africa because they chose society's patterns. In South Africa, if you know their society patterns, you'll understand why it spread so much. And it's not with the natives, it's with the civilized people there. And you'll begin to understand how these viruses feed. All other things that happened is that they began to experiment, for example, in Vietnam with nerves and sterility. And what they did is they began to spray people with an agent known as Agent Orange, which is also known to us as malathion. What groups were spraying malathion around was the ad hoc group. The ad hoc group is part of the secret government. Their helicopters are black. They're the same ones that they fly out of Area 51. They have no markings on them. When they began to spray this stuff in Vietnam on people, the Japanese in 1965 had already published a worldwide study that malathion was a deadly effect, and it caused sterilization, besides other kinds of problems. They also, in the Iraqi war, introduced some other chemicals, which there's about 1,000 or 2,000 vets right now that are suffering with some new stuff. When the Whole Life Expo was up in Santa Fe, New Mexico, last year, when I was there, I had been told by the Andromedans that they were introducing a new one on the Indians. And while we were there, 11 Indians died that weekend of something that they never could figure out what it was. They tried to blame it on the rats. Well, guess what? The Indians have been living here with the rats longer than the Europeans have lived in America, and they haven't had one case of this death. Then you can begin to see, I'm also a researcher and a formulator. I'm working with one of the largest vitamin manufacturers in the world out of Tempe, Arizona, and currently my formulas are found in probably 50 companies that you see on your TV set. My name is Anana, but my formulas are there. My most powerful formula, I don't put anybody's name on it but my own. In the formulation, for example, I've used so many illegal drugs you couldn't believe it. For example, I use B15. Why do we use B15? B15 keeps the body flowing, the blood flowing, the oxygen to the heart. We use tremendous amounts of calcium and tremendous amounts of vitamin D. Vitamin D is another area they're trying to destroy. How many of you in here know what vitamin D does to your body, why it's so important? What is it? What's so important?
It strengthens your bones.
Well, it strengthens your bones, but when you stop growing, what does it do? I'm going to show you something now. Vitamin D is important to assimilate calcium. Without it, you won't. Okay? Right? Now, if you take vitamin D out of your diet, all right, and vitamin D normally comes from where? Sunlight, doesn't it? 15 international units per square inch on your body. So what happens is, you take out vitamin D, your body cannot metabolize calcium. Without your body metabolizing calcium, What happens is calcium then can't feed your heart, and you have heart problems. Your heart has to have an enzyme called actin that comes directly from calcium, directly from vitamin D. Cholesterol doesn't cause you. If you understand, cholesterol testing has nothing to do with heart attack. They have what they call HDL-HCL level comparisons now that compare that, and that's what has to do with the heart attack. So they feed you. They feed you this BS. So what's the first element that you put in your body when you get sick? The very first thing that an AIDS victim would take in the way of nutrients if he knew it became down HIV positive, or if he come down with a runny nose, what have you been taught?
Vitamin C.
No, chromium. Chromium is the proper thing to put in. Why? Because if you put vitamin C in your body and you've got some type of virus, it's the alien that might be feeding the virus, you've got to put chromium in first. Chromium has to be put in to build helper T cells to determine where the vitamin C goes. You're not even educated by your own doctors properly. Then you put in vitamin A. Vitamin A then builds the immune system. Then you start adding your vitamin C. You get your body under control. How many of you take the vitamin C when you get a cold and nothing happens? If anything, it gets worse. Or just stays there, just lingers. You take more vitamin C and it just hangs on longer and more because your body's not working properly. So now, going back to the heart problem, there's a big difference. I don't know if you listen to some of the lecturers on auras. They should teach you, if they know their stuff, they should teach you about taking a Korlian photography of a vitamin that's a natural vitamin and taking a Korlian picture of a vitamin that's a synthetic. If you take a synthetic vitamin, the aura frequency of it, you'll see nothing. It's completely dead. It has no life force to it. You need life force. So, if I were to put vitamins out with no, you know, synthetic vitamins like you'd get from a pharmacy if a doctor got them for you, what would they do? They would steal from your body the nutrition that it already had because they're not natural. So what does the FDA do? They try to destroy natural supplies and channels, and they attack. Every time we find in the holistic field, we find something that does something good, they attack it. And guess what? What's going on now? One of the greatest attacks to this society is in the milk. Because what do you see on the milk? Vitamin A and vitamin D added. And guess what? It's chemicals. It's robbing your body. Vitamin A is destroying your immune system, and vitamin D is giving you heart problems. And I could name 15 food items and show you how to take them apart and destroy them. So you need to get educated, and you need to know what to do. There's a lot you can do when you start understanding how the body works, but until you do, that your body's going to come apart little by little by little by little. It's very important to understand that. These kinds of things are what we have been taught and will be continued to be taught. And this is what I'm here for, to make you aware of this and to show you different avenues that you can explore. One of the things that the Pleiadians gave us, was the etheric precursation devices, like this receptor, for example, that I'm wearing. Now, as you probably know, we're probably breathing about 500 different chemicals in the air right now, starting with the stuff that's falling off the roof, starting with the stuff that's on the bottom of your shoes from outside, the gases, the ozone, not the ozone in the air, but the carbon monoxide from the fumes, the stuff in the carpet, it goes on and on and on. This has a tendency to slow down your aging process. Pleiadians live to be 1,000 years old, and they've shown me.
Stop there because we run out of time. This will be continued next week on the Easter weekend, Easter Bunny night. So. I hope